Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 542. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas, not making the trip to Chicago. And man, I was already bummed, I'm going to be honest with you, about not making the trip to Chicago, because I'm fired up about this main event that we'll definitely be talking about shortly.
Yep.
But then yesterday, I got even more bummed that I'm not going to Chicago, because one of our CFSC champs, Eric Nolan, is making that trip to Chicago. He's facing Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy Bisinger Susarkayev, of course, who Dana White wanted to call Jimmy. Jimmy said politely, no, you can call me Hunter, which Hunter is his nickname, but that doesn't work out real well because I mean, Dana's right-hand man is Hunter Campbell.
That's true.
So I was
one Hunter in his life.
So unfortunate, right? You go, like, hey, you see my guy Hunter? He's legit. Like, Hunter Campbell fight?
Yeah.
So I thought that was unfortunate that Hunter is the name. You know, if he was like, he can call me Boars, Shemaya's nickname, or he can call me Wolf or something like that. So
can't go to like Bai. He's like, don't call me Bai.
Definitely can't do that. Definitely can't. But anyway, I'm happy for Eric Nolan, man. Eric Nolan.
Happy for Jimmy, too.
Happy for Jimmy as well. So Jimmy gets the great call-up, right? I mean, fights on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a week his life has changed, right? A week ago, he's not even in the Contender Series. Gets the opportunity on four days' notice. Takes it. Goes in there and wins in incredibly fast fashion.
Yep.
And then says, you know what, man, I'll fight as soon as I want. In fact, I'll fight this weekend if they'll let me. Sure enough, they let him, right? And he's with his teammate, Khamzat Chimaev.
It certainly helps to have your teammate be the man of the hour that's fighting in the title match on this weekend.
Yeah.
But
great opportunity for him.
And they lost a couple fights, right?
They lost the King Green fight, and then they lost one of the Ultimate Fighter finales as well.
What happened to the King Green one?
All we've heard is injury, King Green
on
injury.
King Green's
I think Diego Fajeda was the first one to announce. I think he was doing an interview. He said he heard it was out, so it wasn't him. So I think we're assuming. I don't think we've heard any details yet, but assume it looks like an injury on the King Green side.
That's too bad.
And then we lost one.
Looking forward to that fight.
Oh, I know. That was a good fight. And then we lost one of the tough finales. So Bisinger gets his wish. Because if not, I don't think they didn't need him on the card. And I don't think they would just load it up unnecessarily. So they had an opportunity. Our guy, Eric Nolan, I'm so happy for this guy. Now, Eric Nolan is a Marine vet. He said from the very beginning that, like, he made a promise to all his brothers in the Marines, like, he's going to make it to the UFC, like, for them as much as for him, you know what I mean? And he had some setbacks early in his career, but if you go back and watch his and look at his career, right, he has a split decision loss to Alonzo Turner, who Alonzo Turner is a hardcore wrestling kind of blue chip prospect, and it was a close fight, but it was a split decision loss. He had a split decision loss to Ty Miller as well, who, oh, by the way, Ty Miller
just got a contract
in the UFC with that sensational win over Jimmy Drago. So great performance there. And then he also an actual Jimmy there. And then he had a loss to Blaine Richards, in which he was fighting really well, and then his nose was broken, and that kind of screwed things up, and he got submitted. But he also came back and rematched Blaine Richards,
and got the win,
knocked him out. Got the title. So right now, he's on a 4-fight win streak. 3 of them are knockouts. He won the CFFC title in a rematch with the guy that beat him. So it's kind of like a dramatic storyline leading into it. Like, not only am I getting the title, because he's fought entire career for CFFC, 11 fights.
Wow.
So, I mean, worked his way to a title after multiple setbacks, gets the rematch he had been hoping for, and wins the title, and now into the U.S. I mean, what a storyline that is. Now,
tough opponent.
I was going to say, pointing it out here, Nolan is the welterweight champ at CFFC. Yeah. This is a middleweight fight. So he's taking it on short notice. He's moving up a division.
Yeah.
He fought a guy that is clearly – he's fighting, I guess I should say, that's clearly tough in Baisinger Sakhaev. But you know what? Again, Marine, that tells you something about his character. Been in some tough fights, battled through it. Has a left hand that will put you out. So he does have power to finish you. You know, this guy is tough. But, hey, Sakhaev, I mean, making weight twice in a week. I don't know him well enough to know how much weight he cuts.
It's tough. You got to remember, he was the last guy on the scale.
Yep.
And he needed the box.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, that says something right there. So, I mean, like, he rehydrates, he fights. Then he probably wants to go out and has a good time, you know, celebrates the win. He starts to feel normal again.
Right.
And then gets a call and says, okay, stop everything. Part of that rehydration and eating thing, that's got to be healthy and heals your body from what you just went through. So to put that all on hold, it's going to be hard on his body, so he's not going to be 100%. And two, this it kind of popped up in our Slack chat the other day. So obviously the commission either waived or they don't do anything like a mandatory 7 days or anything. There's no mandatory time off. You
know,
you think that they would as a general practice, like, hey, you just fought.
Correct.
You need to give me 7 days where you're not doing anything. You know, granted, that could be waived. And what they say in Nevada doesn't need to be taken to another place.
But it is. It usually does. They reciprocate each other's suspensions.
It'd be really silly if you suspend somebody and then somebody else is like, well, hey, that's Nevada. We're Texas. We'll do whatever, you know, or, you know, whatever. But it is interesting. But I was thinking about it. I mean, as spectacular that kid is, this is hard.
I agree.
It's not even, I mean, we give people grief, you know, when it's like, when we say 2 weeks, we're like, oh, that's tough in 2 weeks. You have to put yourself in a body or get back into a weight cut. But they at least have a period where their body's able to sort of just be on its normal weight and it's healing itself. It's regenerating. Yep. Now this kid has to literally stay in a weight cut that whole period or, you know, who knows what? Who knows what is walking me? He's a decent-sized kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would not be – I mean, it's hard to think. I mean, you think a guy like that, if he's fighting middleweight normally, he's got to be 200 pounds, I would think.
I would think.
Easy, you know. So you're telling me he needs to stay in a, you know, probably calorie deficit everything for an extra 4 days and then go right back into a fight?
So how does it impact him? You know, because he took no damage in the fight. So that's good. You know he's healthy there.
Bro,
but
that finishing kick was just nasty.
And I love the way, too, that he just knew. Like, remember, he just kind of he didn't throw anything up and kind of just walked over him.
Yeah, I mean, to think, like, when you throw a kick in, the, you know, liver kick, whatever, and it's like you see him drop. You're like, oh,
done. That's shut cool. you down.
Shuts great, like your body shuts down. I mean, like
it's a great finish.
That was such a. It was that fight was looking to be fun. Like I forget the name of the opponent with that he fought. Sure, fought.
On the contender series.
Yeah,
it was Murtaza Talha.
Yeah, like the dude looked like a beast.
Yeah.
Both,
oh yeah.
I mean, like it was like this was probably one of the.
He was
you know,
I think 7-1 coming in or something like that.
Outside of that main event, which we thought was going to be a banger.
Yeah,
which turned out to be really, really weird.
Yep,
this was the best fight 100% of the night. You know, had the capabilities.
100%. Instead, it's over in the first.
It was just brutal when he threw that kick and he dropped. I was like, oh my god! Like it's been a while since you've seen a nice kick like that. Just definitively, just shut it down. Yep. You know, it was like, bro.
It's funny too because Baisinger, we actually had him scheduled at CFFC, and I can't remember what happened. I think something happened with his opponent, if I remember right. So we almost had him fighting for us as well, which could have met Eric Nolan earlier in his career or something. You know what I mean? But I love the way this has worked out because, dude, that's what we're trying to do at CFSC, right, is give guys an opportunity to go out there, develop his fighters, get a platform, you know what I mean, compete on UFC Fight Pass, get people to notice him a little bit, and then get these opportunities. I mean, super happy for Kyle Daukaus, right? Just got the call back up. He's fighting in China next week. So, I mean – just happy. But, of course, right away, you know, I heard about it, and it's like, yes. And you're like, that is a tough challenge, especially moving up a weight class. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, that's tough. But, again.
Especially after we were just singing the dude's praises.
Yeah. And look,
you're like days, and it's like, oh, you want to give him a shot, but you want to give him a shot where it's like almost like he's the guy going in there with all the, like.
Right.
Like he's got the better advantage. And it's like, I don't know in this one.
I know. It's tough. But again, though, maybe those weight cut. And I'm not saying Nolan can't win the fight cut straight
is
up.
Going, the weight cut is going to help.
Yeah.
Help Eric's side.
100%.
Things,
I think so.
You know, but I mean, this is one of those things that it helps. It's youth. You got to think like, okay, you could do it while this.
Yeah, yeah.
Later on in this guy's career, doing this cut would be very, very hard.
24 years old.
This
man.
Right now, he's like, it might. Maybe we're making more of it. He's like, bro, I could do this whatever daily, and it's not a big deal.
Well, that's
what
I said. We don't know the guy well enough to know for sure, but as you said, he was last on the scale. He did need the box, and now he's got to do it again, you know, 4 days later.
Yeah.
So maybe.
It's tough. I mean, as the later rounds will be what I think we'll really see. If he gets pushed to the later rounds, you know, in, you know, I guess end of two, going into the third, it's not going to go, you know, it's not a five-round fight, but that would certainly be a fight where you would really see it in those last rounds. But it'd be interesting to see if it makes it to the third, how he actually looks. But
I'm excited to see. I will. The card is obviously changing up a little bit because, again, they did lose some fights. And you never know. I mean, they can always shuffle. But right now, it's in that featured prelim position right before that main card. You know what I mean? And
which is crazy.
What an opportunity. And if Eric Nolan could come in, and I'm telling you, this kid can crack with his left. I mean, he can crack with either one, but he's got this left hook that has put a couple people out. Can you imagine?
if he goes out there and gets a good finish, Dana's going to want to put fucking that kid on, like, the White House card or something.
A Marine?
Yeah.
A Marine on the White House card? Come on, man. You know what I mean? Cool. Like, it actually would make some sense. Like, he's a Marine Corps veteran that came in on short notice. And, oh, by the way, knocked out the Russian.
They should have veterans
knocked
on
out
all
the Russian.
Oh, so you got to put, like, Neil Magny on there.
Got to have Neil Magny on there. I mean, come on.
Other ones. That would
it
be pretty
it
cool.
would be so cool, man. So, all right, man. Again, look, I'm always a homer with our CFFC guys. And I'm a homer here for sure, man. I'm cheering for Eric Nolan. But I think it's such a cool opportunity. And, you know, again, not an easy challenge, but that's why we always talk about it, man. We talk about it at CFFC. Man, when you're on the regional scene, I know the temptation is find every cupcake you can to pad that record and get to 6-0 and get to the Contender Series and get into the USC as humanly possible. I get it. I totally understand because that's where the big money is. Don't have all the wars and the battles on the developmental level. I get it. But take difficult fights, man. You want because now when you get to the spot, you're like, dude, I've been tested. I've been pushed deep. Like, I've been in some challenges. Like, I'm good. You know what I mean? You're ready.
You don't want your first challenges to be at a UFC level,
right?
Because that's hard.
That's bad. Because you're gonna have nerves. You're gonna be. Yeah. You're going to. You've been. Everybody. I always say this too. And this is one thing that's a challenge, I think, for any other organization. Like, whether it be, you know, Bellator or PFL, obviously Bellator not around anymore, PFL, one championship, any other organization. The bottom line is anybody that's hitting a bag, that's hitting mitts, that's training, their idea is I want to be in the UFC. Not I want to be a professional mixed martial artist. You know what I mean? You can make a living anywhere. But let's be honest. Every fighter that's training that's on their way up wants to be in the UFC.
I mean, it makes sense. They're training UFC, right?
They're training UFC. 100%. No, they're training MMA. But, yes, there are people call
Bro,
UFC.
Do you even train UFC?
They want to be here. So this is that moment that they've envisioned, that they visualize. Even, hey, let's look at it like – I mean, we got some other things to talk about too, but like a guy like Aaron Pico, you know what I mean? Like Aaron Pico, do I think that he's going to be overwhelmed by the moment considering he made his professional debut at Madison Square Garden, you know, considering the fact that he's competed on a world level? I still think it still feels a little bit different, right?
Yeah, and competing at Madison Square Garden for Bellator or whoever is still huge. It's not like
– massive.
Because I can see where somebody like, well, they probably didn't have the crowds. Like, they had great crowds.
No, they had great crowds.
Yeah,
it's still a big deal.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we've just seen it for so long.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. Like when you get around, like let's be honest, any of the other major organizations, they don't have the staff and the machine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you come to the UFC backstage for the first time and you see the machine and all of a sudden like everything's different. You know
Even
what I mean?
The whole fight week. I mean, how often we just heard it again. I felt like we just heard it last week. I can't remember which fighter was saying. He's like, bro, it was just different. You know, when you get there and you arrive and somebody's telling you where you need to go and then they walk you in, you're getting checked in, you're doing this, you know, you're signing the posters and you got all the medicals and then they take you to where you get your clothing, you know, and they're feeding us. They're like, this is amazing, you know? And so like the whole week, everything building up to it, you know, is just such a life-changing moment for these fighters that I often wonder, like, is it you have to almost like, say if you're fighting in the dungy like regionals,
right.
Your mind is always in that moment where you just feel like you can get in a fight at any moment because it's just so raw. I wonder sometimes if some guys, when you make it to the big show, if they lose that little edge because like, oh, I made it. You know, I'm getting it's so posh.
Sleeping it like they're going to have the nicest hotel in town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're going to be sitting. Instead of like, you know, like, I got to stay focused. Because that's why I think when the vets that have been there before are able to kind of keep that focus. But I imagine that first time has got to be like a surreal state where it's like,
man.
You know, where your head's probably out of your body half the time because you're just floating on cloud nine, you know.
Feels different.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see. But, man, and it's, oh boy. What a crazy, we always say, like, the people that do this, man, just have a different mindset. So to think that you've made it to a place where you're getting treated, you have your hotel room being paid for, they're shuttling you around and you're getting your food, but then at the end of the day, you still got to go in there and you got to fight somebody. So then it's like, oh, I'm having the best moment. Oh, man, I feel like I'm about to get in a fight. But, oh, this is so great. Oh, man, I got to get in a fight.
It's
you
crazy,
know, like,
man.
What a,
it's the
a roller
weird
coaster
psychology,
of emotions,
man.
You know? To and then to be able to go with that and do that, like these fighters that I know we never take them for granted, you know, the fact that this is entertainment and we make our life, you know, covering these guys. But man, what a unique bunch of individuals to put yourself through this crazy roller coaster, because who knows how we would do.
Yep.
You know, I often think the same thing, you know, like, man, if one day I got, I don't know, pulled up to the big leagues for whatever that would be, you know, and then getting posh.
Oh, you're in the big leagues. What are you talking about?
You know, and then having to, you know, just, you know, at the end of the day, then switch and then fight for my life.
It's crazy,
you
man.
You know, what a crazy, crazy, crazy sport.
Well,
man.
You talk about, like, I agree. I think you and I mean, we live this life, so we don't take it. But I do think sometimes people do take for granted what's happening out there. I think, like, last week with, like, the Elijah Smith, Toshiyama Kazama knockout, like, you get those moments every now and then where don't forget what's actually happening in here. You know what I mean?
Get me fired up thinking about that one again.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
No.
Anybody that listened to the and a half this weekend, Cole Coffey was fired up about the handling. That. We'll leave that in the past.
Well,
there's so many things to talk about. But you get those scary moments, and you remember, like, okay, wait a minute. I know this is for entertainment.
Yeah.
And it is
real life.
It is a
death
sport.
Shit.
But it is real life.
This kid could went in there and be like, oh, my goodness, you know, I had my own hotel room. Maybe it's his first time having a hotel room. They were paying for me to get whatever. I got these clothing. I got this nice little swag bag. You know, I'm going to get paid to do all this other stuff. And then, you know, waking up unconscious on the ground. You got people checking your vitals, checking your everything, make sure you're good. Like, what a scary moment. Do you think that move should get banned? I'm starting to get on the fence.
You think it should be banned?
I think those, whether you're
slamming
controlled or not, slamming onto somebody's head like that, I think that move, maybe even if there's parameters. Okay, say somebody jumps on you to try to grab a choke or whatever, and you pick them up and you slam them. That's one thing. But if you're like sort of slamming them where they can't defend the head, say they're holding their arms,
right?
But to spike them on the head like that, where you can contort that spine, that section of the neck right there, I would not be sad if that goes away.
It's okay. So
it's the closest thing that we have
that
could be paralyzed immediately from a fight.
I like what you said right at the end of it, because am I standing on a hill saying, guys, we got to get rid of this right now? I'm not, right? Because I do like the rule being the way it is, in that it's your responsibility. Like, obviously, I can't take you and slam you straight on your head. But if you have me locked in a triangle choke, or you have me locked in an armbar, or even perhaps, you know, like you said, you're attempting a rear naked choke and I dive forward, you know what I mean? Any of those, the rule is now currently, I'm not in control of your body, you're in control of mine. So if you don't let go, that's on you.
Yep.
So I don't hate that rule set.
Yep.
But if they came and they said, guys, because exactly what you said, I mean, we don't talk about it very often because obviously we try to keep it light and fun and happy and all that. But like, fatalities happen in combat sports. We just saw it in Japan. What, two boxers on the same card died? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. From whatever the damage that took place or whatever.
Now, fortunately, at the UFC, the medical standards are so high. I mean, you think about the number of times that guys have had their life saved by things that have been found in medicals, right? Like brain conditions and things like that, right? So the UFC especially and the athletic commissions go out of their way. So, I mean, we're trying to make this as safe of an unsafe sport as possible, right? So if they came out one day and the commission said, listen, this is scary. We've got to ban that type of slam, especially, and maybe the rule is, hey, you can slam, but like Elijah did, which is a great technique, and we've seen it before, you can't put your forearm in front because at that point, you know, because it adds that extra emphasis. Yep. If they got rid of it, I like what you said there. I wouldn't hate it. I'm not saying it should go away, but if they did, you would not hear me going, guys, we have completely ruined the sport of mixed martial arts at this point. We have taken away a key component of it because exactly what you said, that is one of the absolute most dangerous things that you can do in what is already an absolutely dangerous sport. Yep. So I'm not championing for it, but if they came out and said, guys, this is just a little too scary, we got to get rid of it because of the long-term implications of what could happen, I wouldn't argue.
Because even if they started with a stipulation of, like, say if you're controlling and if somebody can't defend their head or their neck on their own when you're putting them in that position, say, you know, like I said, I'm holding your arms and I'm in a way, you say you try to get a move or whatever and I pick you up and I then now force it to where your arms are now incapable of stopping what you're doing and defending yourself, I should not be able to then at that point drive your head and your spine into the thing because you can't defend it.
Yep.
It's one thing if, like you said, if they have the, it's on you. If you don't let go of the, if you don't let go of your choke that you're trying, and you're not defending yourself, it's kind of on you to a degree.
Because ideally, you know, you're supposed to do in that situation, if you're the man on bottom, triangle or an armbar, and you feel yourself elevated, what you're supposed to do is let go immediately with your legs. Like, you should immediately unwrap that body lock and put your legs back underneath you so that you essentially end up
slammed.
You can't get slammed. So, I mean, that's what the logic is of, you know, how – so it's not your fault. But you are right. And I agree with you. Maybe there's some way you lay it out. Like I said, okay, if you're in an armbar triangle, you can lift and slam, but you can't put the free arm – you know, in front of the neck to where you're framing. Obviously, you can't see listening to audio, but, you know, where you're framing in front of the chin, because maybe at that point you're like, now you are in control of that opponent's head and you are significantly increasing the impact of what's going to happen in said slam. So,
yeah, because even then when you do that, you're restricting the natural motion that your head would try to, you know, get rid of some of that force. When it hits the back, it needs to push forward. And if you're then now forcing it down and it can't actually expel that force forward, all that damage is going on in your brain.
It's it's funny because we talked about a little bit on the and a half over on Patreon that Alex Davis, good friend of mine, you know, obviously son trains with him for years and years, that I did see him randomly just saying on Twitter, like, that should be banned. And again, I'm not.
Did he? Yeah, he did.
I'm not of the.
That's the kind of a guy that has some experience, I think. I think there should be intelligent discussion. I don't want, like, gut reaction stuff, but there should be intelligent discussion to talk about it and find a way. Because, I mean, as cool and visual as it was, I literally, when we watched it, I was like,
it was scary.
I was like, dude, he might be paralyzed or whatever.
It was scary. And it took so long for him to get up. And, you know, and boy, in that apex, you know, like I said, when people are hurt like that in an arena, there's still a lot of sound and stuff because there's just so many people in there. Like, there's still going to be like a little bit of a buzz and there's other stuff going on. There, like, it was eerily quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
I'm not
going to
champion it, but I wouldn't mind seeing that one go.
That's
changed.
The way I feel. I'm not going to campaign for it, but if somebody said, "No, we've got to," I wouldn't stand in opposition.
I mean, I'm not going to go to the next meeting and say it in the community speech part at the front. I might think about it, but I'm not
the oft-used public comment section.
I'll have to wait in the queue to say my piece.
It is funny, man. Like, obviously, there is a space for public comment at every hearing. Now,
the beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end. And I've been here for 17 years, and I think maybe once or twice I've heard somebody say something. And usually it's like somebody that has a case upcoming, and they make a public comment. They're like, bro, we can't do anything now. Like, now is not the right time.
I'm here on the phone. Like, that's not the point for that.
Funny. All right, listen, we're going to talk about UFC 319, of course. Obviously, we're excited for Eric Nolan. I guess I did want to talk about the TV deal. Still a big thing right now.
Yep.
I got to be honest with you. I'm seeing a lot of people try to. Maybe it's just the nature of. I don't know if it's just MMA fans or just human nature or whatever. I feel like people are trying to find ways to shoot holes in this thing and make it a bad thing. I don't see anything bad about this new. And I guess you can't even call it a TV deal anymore, right? It's just a broadcast deal because now you're streaming and you're everywhere. So now it's your broadcast deal. And oh, by the way, how about just a reminder of how powerful this thing is. That's the U.S. rights for $1.1 billion a year. That's not even global rights. They could still negotiate in 200 other countries. So, I mean,
it's pretty sick.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from a fan perspective, you know, if you're a Paramount Plus stockholder owner, I could see how you might want to be like, this scares me a little bit because I don't know if this ends up being profitable or not.
I think they're stuck because I know that TKO stock immediately, I think, went up like 10 or 12%
right.
That shot up that day. It might, I'm sure, balance down. But Paramount dropped like, it was like 2 or 3% or something.
Oh,
like
really?
That. It dropped a little bit. I mean, it'll mellow itself out. But I mean, you got to think as like a shareholder, you're immediately putting yourself on the line for a huge amount of money that you need to come up with.
And I think it'll be a good thing for Paramount because obviously USC is year-round. We know live sports are what drives things right now. USC doesn't have an off-season, so you're year-round. This will immediately – obviously, you're going to get advertising deals that you're going to sign based on it. It's going to attract other properties. Like, immediately it raises the reputation of Paramount Plus, right? Like, I do watch Paramount Plus. You know, I watch a couple things there, but I don't consider them like a – like, when you start talking about, do you have Netflix, Hulu? You know, Paramount Plus doesn't come up in your discussion. Yeah. Now it will, right? Yeah, now 100%. It will. You got Paramount. So it's big. Just from a fan perspective, and I'll even say from a fighter perspective, I think that from a fan perspective, this to me is an absolute 100% win, right? Yep. 100% win. Pay-per-views are going away.
That's the biggest one.
That's huge.
That's what I think people, you know, are the ones that they're like, whoa, I won't have to pay for it. Granted, you're going to have to pay for the service.
Of course.
Unless it's one of the ones that happens to be on CBS, and then if you're lucky enough to be able to get it on your antenna, you can get it, or you have a service already. That threshold that I think scared people away – that, you know, well, I'd watch it maybe if a buddy buys it or something.
Right.
You know, I'll watch it. People wanted to watch it. People just – we always talked about what does it take to get somebody to reach in their pocket and pull out their wallet. Now that's gone relatively. I mean, there's still a small price. But you got to think, your yearly price right now is almost the cost of what one pay-per-view was.
Which is crazy when you think about it.
Which is ridiculous.
So from a fan perspective – and let's be honest, like I do think Paramount Plus is going to come in with a more premium tier at some point. Now, maybe they won't do it right away. Maybe it'll be a year from now.
Yep.
But
they had a little room to grow, though.
And that may we didn't ask Dana about this. But, and again, because I don't know how much he would get in the financials. But you remember in the press release it was specifically stated that it's, you know, $7.7 billion with much of the payment – back-ended, like it weighs heavier at the end. I wonder
after
if that's exactly
it's prices,
like yeah exactly right, like, hey, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna keep it at $12.99 for now, so do us a favor, your first year, that's when you get paid out the least, but then in year two we're gonna raise our prices and we're gonna pass
go
that
to?
On to you. I think
$19.99 is perfectly fine.
I think $19.99, and I heard the new ESPN package is like
$30.
So maybe that's the threshold that they end up going to. But I think $19.99.
I think $30 probably would be where they're going. But it's going to be hard for people that don't watch the UFC.
Yeah.
That watch those shows.
That's
I watched it for a while. That's way too expensive.
It's way too expensive.
I found myself like I used to get the yearly, so the year was like roughly $120 or whatever. You're like, okay, but at a point I was like, all right, I watched all the shows I already wanted to watch, you know. But if you're a person that's going there to watch those shows, they're gonna be like, why am I gonna double
100%
my cost?
I think you go to $19.99 almost immediately.
Yeah.
Right. And then after that, you have a premium plus UFC tier, or it's like
I can see that. You have $20.
I got $20 for somebody that just absolutely doesn't watch UFC. Now I'm gonna hammer you with UFC advertising all the time to try to make you a UFC fan. But I got a $19.99 tier for you if you don't watch UFC. I got a $29.99 tier for you if you do watch the UFC.
And then you still get the ones that are on CBS when they put the four or whatever on the big one. You
100%.
Get those. So if you're like, okay, well, I'll agree to the price change. You know, I don't want whatever, but you know, I would be mad that you were raising my cost, but I'll get those four events or whatever, something like that. But I could see that.
That's my guess. I mean, again, obviously we don't know, but that's my guess.
Yeah. I would definitely renew my year before the year's up.
Smart.
You know, but if they start talking about, like, price changing, I'm going to lock in the year right from whenever that
so
is.
So funny. On Tuesday night, I know you didn't make it on Tuesday night because you got out late from the Apex, but after the Contender Series, went out with Derek McMahon, who was refereeing that night. We were kind of talking about this whole deal. He was like, oh, I've already locked up my year. He's like, first thing, as soon as they made the announcement, he was like, I got my plan.
Because I thought about that, but I was like, well, I'll just wait a little bit.
Yeah,
you want it to go deeper into the year.
As far as you can go.
As far as you can go. So, like, you know.
You don't want them to announce that price increase.
I know. That's the thing. They're like, what? But Even if they do, they have to give a little leeway.
They usually give a little heads
so
up.
So even if it's like, hey, in 30 days, we're going to do it, I will wait to the 29th
day. On the 29th day, you'll be locking up your ear.
100%. But, you know, because I thought about renewing it right off the bat, but I was just like, I don't really need to right now.
Right, no,
I was
wait.
Like, I'll wait because I want to get deeper into the year.
Smart.
You know?
Yeah, they'll give you a little notice.
Even now, say it's a full year. Right now, it's August. So you almost get the full year. I mean, like, you almost get a lot of the great fights.
Yep.
But, you know, at the end of the year, everybody wants to get that end of the year card. Even if it's, like, November is the big one. Maybe yep. December is always, like, whatever. Ooh. If you don't hear about it, I would lock it in at the end of November or right at the beginning of December or something.
You know, they're going to run
a Christmas special.
You know what
I'm sure.
just realized? What? That means? I bet we're going. You know how we used to get that break at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Because ESPN had so much programming
that
they didn't need it?
Yeah.
They're going to want it, I bet. I bet.
It's quite.
So I bet we go back to having those like year end events.
But you figure even with like the ESPN, there's already so much stuff because they needed a break. But also, I mean, there's a lot of stuff towards the end of the year because you got all the Christmas stuff, you got all the holiday stuff mm-hmm. from Thanksgiving or whatever.
So maybe, maybe not.
Maybe, but you never know.
We'll see. It does, and
not that. I'm not really traveling so much. Nah. So it's like whatever.
Whatever it is, it is. and it is, boy. And there's a lingering question we've always talked. I mean, we've talked about this for years, or at least as the renewal came up. How far in the game does ESPN stay if they don't have a piece of it, right? Because notoriously over the years, and I mean, we've talked about this many times, when they didn't have the NHL, they stopped covering the NHL. You know, when they used to own the Spelling Bee. I don't know if they still – they used to own the Spelling Bee. That's why you'd get all those Spelling Bee. Remember when you were a kid, you'd have like Spelling Bee highlights? What the hell am I seeing a Spelling Bee on ESPN? Because they owned it. Like Arena Football League. I know like they had a piece in that, and you'd see a lot of Arena Football League. So anyway, I'm interested to see – how far ESPN stays in, or if they're just like, we don't have a piece of it. So all of a sudden, that ain't a top 10 highlight. That spinning wheel kick knocked out Mauricio Rufy.
I could see highlights. My thing, I think, you know, as opposed to all the extra series and stuff, like.
Oh, that's definitely not
gone,
happening.
Right?
That's gone.
I mean, like, because I think they were trying to, you know, build that stuff for the ESPN Plus network.
Yeah,
and
no,
then
that's
you had
gone.
Other stuff,
pre-show,
like,
post-show.
All that stuff's gone.
All that's gone.
I mean, it's,
now the question
they have
is
a huge staff.
How much
that
do you
travels.
See it on SportsCenter? Oh, yeah.
But see, at least SportsCenter, at least I think then maybe that's the way that they stay connected is it's an easy lift because then they're. Usually the footage will probably be provided.
100%.
If ESPN says, hey, can we highlight you in our top 10 highlight the UFC?
They're
going
to give
like,
it to
of
them.
Course.
Of course you can.
You know, so it's almost like a no lift win
especially
for them.
Especially no pay-per-views because you're not trying to hold pay-per-view footage. You're not trying to get people to pay for
That's
it.
That's going
to
be so cool, be able to see all that stuff. So, yeah, I would see them doing that. But, yeah, because it's built itself up so much, it would be weird if they just like, oh, MMA doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, like – it's weird because you don't really see much boxing
might,
and
though.
Stuff and other.
They might.
I would think that they'll
switch.
Still show something, but you
I think,
never know.
I think.
I don't think they're. I don't think they're sad. I don't think they're mad. I don't think it's a.
No.
I don't think it's a burned bridge.
I don't think so.
So I don't think that they'll cut it off completely. But as for,
I think the bar though for what qualifies as a highlight will be much higher. I believe. You know what I mean? Like for what. So anyway, that's interesting. So we'll monitor that next year for sure and see how things happen. Yeah, there's a lot of people with jobs tied to it. Do they get shifted to other things? They
like,
get moved on to other
imagine
sports.
You've been covering MMA for the past, like, 10 years. You've been going around like these guys have been doing, and now what? Hey, we're going to send you some wrestling events if they're able to cover.
Yeah.
We have some close friends that this could really
this is
going
to
really
impact. Yeah, there's some people that we've worked shoulder to shoulder with for a long time. They're going to have to look at some things. Now, as far as what you see, and I think most people listening to this show probably know, but it's probably worth stating, as far as, like, the on-air talent and all that, the UFC controls all that. They'll control that wherever they go.
For the UFC broadcast.
Exactly.
Yes,
so all that stays in the state. It's not like you know, John Anik and Joe Rogan and Daniel Cormier, and they got to go talk to the folks at Paramount, make sure they're okay with keeping them on board. Like, no. That's not the way the UFC operates. The UFC is you'll pay us for the content, we'll produce it, but we're going to do it exactly the way we want, and we're not really interested in your feedback, so we're going with our guys.
Yeah.
So that won't change. What your on-air look won't change. So I think
now some of the other reporters off to the side might change.
That could change. So as far as for the fans, I think this is a huge win. Even if it goes to $30 a month, I as far as the sport itself, I thought this was pretty interesting. So I don't talk about it often, but I do another podcast called Cage Side with John Morgan for Grind City Media. Out of respect for my longtime friend Cole Coffey, I don't talk about that product over there a lot here. But there's a guy I was listening to. So they have a host named Gary Parrish who hosts more of a general sports show. He's also a basketball commentator. He's big in college basketball. But he hosts a more general sports talk show. And the day that the deal was announced, they did a segment on this. And I guess I think about it so much from a hardcore point of view that I lose the casual point of view. But he talked about it from a casual point of view, and he was talking about, like, look, bottom line is, like, I am a fight fan, but I'm not a fight fan that's a hardcore. So, like, I don't really, like, when they show a pay-per-view lineup, like, if it's got Conor McGregor on it or Jon Jones, like, I know who that is, right? But I don't really know who everybody is because I don't live in it. So then I just don't pay the $80 because I feel like, why am I going to pay $80 for a card of people I don't really know? You know what I mean? He's like, but now, like, if it's on all the time, like, I'm going to watch it every weekend. You know what I mean? Like, I love the sport, but I didn't love it enough to pay $80. You know what I mean? Because, you know, MMA is pretty cool in that even if you don't know who's fighting, you can be like, damn, that's cool, but you're not going to pay $80 for it. So I do think this will help grow the sport because it doesn't have that barrier that it had had before where people weren't seeing the biggest and best fights because they didn't want to pay that. So I think it's good. I've seen a lot of people question about the fighters. You know, we talked about it a little bit on after with Dana White after the Contender Series and asked him some financial questions. Obviously, he's not going to share financials right there. And as he said, we're still trying to figure this all out. But I've talked to a couple managers behind the scenes what their thoughts are on it. And they're like, look, honestly, I think this could be really good for the fighters because now you're no longer beholden to try to get this pay-per-view bonus, which is getting increasingly difficult to get because people aren't buying pay-per-views. Now we can just get a bigger guarantee for here's what we're getting. You know what I mean? And they think it'll actually be a positive. So I think that's – I mean, I just – to me, it seems like a win-win-win all the way around, man. I just don't see a bad thing. Again, you know, he said bonuses are going to go up as well. So, you know –
That's, I mean, there's still questions with that. You know, I think that and the pay, I think that's the part.
$55,000.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because somebody I saw pulled up something that back in like 2012 or something, but for some reason, I'm not sure why, he randomly, the bonuses that night were like $65,000. Yeah. Like, they got rid of that, you know.
Well, if you remember, like, I think it was like UFC 129 was when they did the arena and they did $129,000 bonuses. Yeah. And so they've done that over the years. But what happens, and this will actually, this will even this all out too, because I know exactly what you're talking about, and people probably forget this. They started making the pay-per-view bonuses worth more, but then you had fighters that when you went to book them, they're like, bro, I know this is a potential fight of the night. Like, don't stick me on the fight night where I can't get the fight. You know, so that's why they made him uniform across the board at $50,000. They did. They would do pay-per-views as like $100,000. Then fighters were like, don't put me on a fight night because I can't get that $100,000.
Yeah, I can't get that bonus.
You know?
I mean, I definitely see people griping about it, but I think a lot of those people just want to gripe. I think they see that the UFC is making more money, and they don't see that they don't think anything real is going to change for the fighters. And some people are just definitely, you know, upset about that. But I mean, there are legit questions. I mean, Dana says that the accountants and the people will make it all work or whatever. Like, that doesn't really give a lot of like answers. And I know that's the some stuff that some people that are, you know, so in tune with that, you know, if you ask any other questions, they're pissed off that you don't only ask the financial ones. I mean, some people I saw in some comments after that.
Did we not press hard enough?
We didn't press hard enough. Mm. You know, another shit, and it's like, bro, I don't think they haven't even figured out, like, what are you expecting right now? We can ask them over. But, Dana, please, please, can you clarify? What is the percentage? What about it? Like, we're not going to get that answer. And then he just gets grumpy, and then he just leaves us.
Yeah.
And then we don't get any of the other questions, but whatever. But, yeah, I mean, when you think about that big hurdle of new fans that don't want to pay an exorbitant amount of money to watch potential fighters that they might love – we've removed that hurdle.
Yep.
Not we. They're removing the hurdle. So, no, I think it's good. And, I mean, if the UFC's already saying, yes, it's going to increase the fighter pay, just for face value until we see what that is, that's a good thing.
Yep.
You know, how can it be bad? So, I like it. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about pay-per-views. I'm going to lock in my year. I'll get to watch some of the other shows that I haven't watched on Paramount. And I'll get that watch all the UFCs.
I like Tulsa King's fun show. I like that.
I need to
Tulsa
get on
King's
that. I think I watched part of an episode, then I got distracted, and I probably end up watching like a Korean rom-com or something. They need to up their Korean rom-com selection.
Really, dude, you know what will really drive the subscriber base, man? Korean rom-com.
Everybody loves subtitled stuff. I realize that most people do not like subtitles.
No.
Stuff. I'm so good at like reading, I don't even think about it. So now when I have the option of like the dubbed or the sub...
So
the hipster in me would not tolerate a dubbed version unless the voice actors are really good.
It's so funny you say that. So Welcome to Wrexham. That's a show I really like.
Yeah.
That's on Hulu, I believe.
Is that? I need to watch it. I heard that was really good.
So honestly, I think it's really good. Like, whether you're a big soccer fan or not, which I am a big soccer fan, it's probably my second favorite sport outside of MMA. So I like that part of it. Even if it was like if it was a hockey team they were building or a baseball team or whatever, like I honestly think the show is good enough that like it doesn't really
because it's real, right?
It's real, 100% real. It doesn't really center around the soccer action. It's around the personalities and the town, and it's a really good show, right? But so they came out with I don't want to say it's a different version, but obviously it's heavily influenced by it. There's one for the Mexican team, Necaxa, that is basically the same thing. And I feel bad. It's not Jennifer. What is the Mexican? No, she's a Texan. Oh my God, my wife's gonna kill me. She's born in Texas and is of Mexican heritage, although she didn't speak Spanish.
A singer?
I'm dying. They're going to kill me. Anyway, I'll find it in a second.
She has a show? She's connected to him?
Yeah. Ava Longoria. Sorry.
Longoria. Oh,
Who was born in Texas, of Mexican descent, didn't speak Spanish. Well, but has relocated to Mexico. She's an investor in it, but she helped. I think because she's like the moderator of this. She's kind of like the moderator of the series because she's a big investor in it anyway.
Yeah, she's fine.
She is not hard to look at, even, and I think she's like in her 50s now.
like a year younger than me. I can say she's fine as hell.
But anyway,
she was fine as hell.
So it came out, and my wife was like, oh, like, you know, she's like, my wife doesn't watch Welcome to Wrexham, but she knows that I like it. And so we were just looking for something to watch today. She's like, oh, I think that just came out. Well, she speaks Spanish the whole time, and it is all in subtitles. I never watch anything all in subtitles. And I will say, like, and my wife watches stuff with subtitles all the time because, you know, she obviously English is her second language. She speaks it fine, but she's like, when she can have subtitles, she likes it just to, like, you know, make sure she's hearing everything right. I was like, dude, we watched like 30 minutes of the first episode, and I was like, I gotta turn this off. I'm like, I'm exhausted right now. Yeah. I can't. I mean,
because it takes a bunch.
I might have had a beverage or two, but I was like,
you
this
might
is
have slowed your cognitive this skills. Yeah.
My cognitive skills might have been impacted a little bit, but
I
was like,
because I've had plenty of friends who are like, I don't want to read my show because if you're not used to doing it, your eyes get so focused on I'm reading.
Right.
You know this, and I'm not actually seeing
paying
what's
attention
happening
to the images.
You know?
Like, I watch Squid Games with the subtitles, but that's not like a very like dialogue based show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the dialogue matters. I mean, so anyway.
But yes, take note, Paramount. Up your
Korean rom com, and you will get at least one subscriber who now is already going to be your subscriber anyway because he has to.
Now
for
I'm
going to
tell my other rom com connections. I don't have any fucking rom com connections.
The whole crew.
I almost started. We got a
rom com club
distro. Yeah, we got a distro list, and we actually just started a Discord channel. But yeah, I literally almost. Yeah, you were. It wasn't even like a. It was about cooking. But it was like this guy's trying to save his family's dynasty, or like him and his brother in competition who's going to run the food group, and they're trying to get Michelin stars. So he ends up trying to get with this, like, he goes and he's fascinated with this young upcoming chef who's like, whatever. But there's like a budding, like, you could tell there's going to be like a romance. I was like, hey, that sounds like a good premise for a show. Man, watch that. And I was like, I heard your voice in the back of my head, like saying, like, oh, what's another rom-com? And I was just like, all right, I'll wait. But I'm literally, it's on the list.
He's like, so I'm safe, only one a week. Like, that's great, man. All right, listen, we'll talk against the 319. One more thing I did want to touch on real quick is, and it's been corrected and edited, but I see, you know, in this day of journalism and nobody fact checks, you just repeat what somebody else says. This report that came out that the Apex was going to be upgrading to 10,000 seats, absolutely false. And the original report was, I don't know if it was a typo or a misunderstanding or what happened, but the original report was rescinded. But I see people, unfortunately, still latching onto this and citing it as fact. And then there's social media graphics. And again, this era of nobody bothers to check. It just got said somewhere, so it must be accurate. Obviously, if you put any logic into it whatsoever, that building could never hold 10,000 people.
No.
You would have to buy additional land, knock everything down, and reconstruct it from scratch. That would not be
all those offices out of it.
Yeah, that would not be a simple redesign. Yeah, you'd have to basically demolish. So anyway, those reports are out there. I just want to make sure that everybody knows, if you're listening to this, no, that's impossible. But it's what we've said all along, that they're trying to get it up to around like 750, 1,000, something like that, which will significantly impact the way that place
feels.
Which
they can do without, for the most part, affecting that inner structure. And we have not seen anything. Nothing's changed on the actual room.
Yeah, the building where the room where the fights take place.
The room the fights, but nothing's happened. Nothing's changed, and I don't foresee that's going to happen. I mean, there's that temporary wall that have draping so that if they were able to sort of shift everything, but the way that other room where all the rafters, where they have the lights held all that other stuff, doesn't extend it, so they would literally have to rebuild that rigging and so they could maybe slide it. Just slide it over maybe 10 feet if they did something like that, but I don't envision that happening.
I don't think they return to the Apex until when? Like, is November the first time?
It's quite some time.
I know.
I'm enjoying the...
It's just starting.
I'm looking forward to this little bit of a break.
I was going to say, because we're back in Las Vegas.
Granted, we will be there for the next... For Contender Series.
That is true.
It still does count. But it's not like...
That's true. I was just thinking, what are they going to do while we're gone? Because an actual USC event doesn't happen until November 1st, I believe, is the next USC Apex event. We will be in October 4th in Vegas, but that'll be T-Mobile for USC 320. But you're right. We're still going to be there every week.
Yeah, straight into October. Everyone except for the one I missed on vacation. I'm a little sad about that.
Is that the first Contender Series?
You mean my second Contender Series?
Finally, I was gonna say, does it end the streak?
Yeah, I think I missed one because of, like, COVID or sickness or something.
That's crazy, man.
But it's funny because I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, we got a break. And I was like, oh wait, no, I'll be back here on Tuesday.
At least Monday, Tuesday, so you knock it out.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It's the fun. It's a fun different routine. So Mondays we drive over to the casino for the weigh-ins and. Do that, and that's always kind of fun to reconnect with some of those people and get over to the old neck of the woods, And then Tuesdays is – it's funny because I went out to go watch one of the fights, and even the security guy was like, oh, you're coming out to get to watch your fight, huh? I was like, bro, I get to watch all the fights. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, they don't bring all the winners back until – like they normally do. He's like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I was like, I know.
That
I was
is like, true.
I get to watch
Contender
all the fights.
Series, you get to hang out and watch all five fights.
At most – get one fight. And if I just was like everybody else and just didn't go back in the room, I could watch more fights. But it's usually just one and done.
Fight.
But this one, I mean, it was awesome. I got four, and then I left before the last one so I could set up the stream for the Dana thing so the team could to follow along. But, dude, I love it. I love
it. It was a weird night, man. I felt kind of bad for Radley Da Silva, to be honest with you. Like, he's a very talented fighter. And beat a very talented fighter in George Mangos.
In a great grappling
Mangos,
match.
George Mangos, I believe.
Yeah, it was a great grappling match.
But yeah, that was it was the weirdest fight I've ever seen. And that, like, it was funny that, I mean, we kind of made the same joke on Press Row that Dana did afterwards, and that, like, maybe he thought he was trying out for UFC BJJ. Yeah. I was like, that's funny. We said the same thing. Yeah. But I think Radley Da Silva is talented, but dude, that was harsh. And Dana's just like, have you even watched the show? Like, oh gosh.
Yeah, and then the last guy, both of these nuts, wasn't even back into the room. He was making the walk, and he was already getting shut down. He was like, no.
That was bad.
Come back. I didn't
even get to sit down.
Just imagine that conversation, because I saw him walking over, and he was probably like, I can't wait to get in that room. Everybody's going to be sitting there. And I saw Miguel right there chatting with the others, and I was just like,
no.
Do they just say, like, sorry, dude?
Sorry, bro. Like, no. Not even necessary. Yeah, that was wild. That was...
Didn't even make it to the kitchen.
And I don't... Look, and that one didn't even make it to the kitchen. Oh, the days of the old kitchen, the old tough gym.
It'll always still be the kitchen.
It's the kitchen.
It's always going
to
be the kitchen.
It's funny. That's the thing that you say now, and people just look at you and have no idea what you're talking about.
It was funny because we were talking about it, chatting with it the other day, and Nobby was telling the new staff, some of the interns and the new PR girls, we were talking about it, and brought the kitchen. She's like, hey, we still call it the kitchen, and the blah blah blah, and they're just like, huh? And then we explained the story of how the guys would wait in the kitchen and do all the other little stuff, and it was just like, I was like, I'm glad somebody's still imparting some of the history to the new ones that are coming on now and starting to run the show, work the show.
They don't know the history.
Have no idea of what it used to be like at the old venue.
The don't know Heidi Dean. Remember before Heidi, because it was how many? I mean, was it only one episode that it happened, or did it happen a couple
episodes?
Happened
a couple times. I actually talked about this.
Right, where nobody would come tell the other ones that Bane had made his decisions because we didn't have like the full monitor and all then, right? Yeah. And so we didn't know what was going on. So Dana would make his decisions, and those fighters would be waiting in the kitchen at the Tough Gym. Like, that's why we call it the kitchen, sitting on the cabinet, just kind of hanging out or whatever.
Sitting on the counter.
Yeah, because we would have to. Because we would be watching our phones or something.
Yeah, we had a backup. Because we would either watch on the phones. And then at times would just, like, find Heidi or somebody and be like, hey, you know, did they decide or whatever?
So they would decide on the one or two fighters or whatever. And remember, this was in the early days. You didn't have five contracts going out. Yeah. So they'd pick the one or two, and then they'd be done. And the other three would just still be sitting there. Yeah. And I think a couple times, like, me and you had to be like,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, I think they're done. You know? And so finally, Heidi Dean started coming in and would say, yeah. Hey, sorry. And she was very nice. She said, sorry, not today. Because I think at one point, like, some just, like, production person just walked in and was just like, oh, you guys are done. Like, you know what I mean?
It was so unceremonious.
So wrong. So yeah. Heidi would come in. So Heidi started coming in and be like, guys, sorry, it's not happening today, but, you know, hopefully you'll be back and just kind of be nice. Yeah. Anyway, boy, trips down memory lanes, right? Yep. That was crazy.
Because it's funny because, this kitchen room couldn't have been any bigger than like this part of the living room. It was probably
this is a pretty massive living room here at the Casa de Cold Coffee. Remember Cold Coffee. Most people that are listening to this aren't, you know, have the type of resources and wealth available.
Okay, let me try that. But no, I mean, it was a small room, and I remember we had a little backdrop, and we'd have our tripod sitting right there. So we took up a corner of it. There was that random little table off to the side that was right next to the door that if you sat at the table, you blocked the entry.
Yep.
Then there was that counter, and then there was a small fridge, and then there was the door into the main training area. So it was not a big room. So it was like they were just in an oversized closet waiting their fates. And so when somebody would come and tell them, they either got it, and then if not, it was just that awkward silence. And they're like almost bumping shoulders with us.
Is my dream realized? Yeah, or no?
We're just like, oh shoot! How do we tell them? How do we tell them it's not happening?
It's
so unique.
I was so Ilia Bofia.
Bofa.
I'm not surprised that he didn't, but I did wonder if they'd at least factor in the fact that he got that nasty headbutt. You know, it seemed to really impact him.
Yeah, I don't know. I was at one point. I was like, you could tell that he was going to continue because I think he said something, but I just felt like he was like over nursing that.
Yeah.
He got headbutted, but I'm like, bro, you got punched harder in your face than that, what that headbutt was. Yeah. I was like, you know, if you know you're going to continue, just stop. But there was a part of me that wondered if Dana got annoyed by it as well.
Probably.
You know, and was just like, okay, now I'm really done with this kid.
Yeah, and then the fight just didn't do anything.
And then I think at that point he was just like disgusted. The fact that they were, and I like that Dana did it. It made sense how he did it. But when they typically go in order, he was like, no, not yet.
Skip it.
And I remember I was like, well, he's definitely going to get one. But then when you got to the end, he was like, I didn't want to end on the other guys. It's like, I wanted to end on the best. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But I remember it was awkward at the moment.
A little weird at the moment.
Dana, I mean, he came in. Like, we were wondering how this was going to affect the season. You know, we were like, well, if De Silva gets it or if whatever, it's kind of going to set the tone for what the season's going to be like. Or is it going to be where Dana is going to give the guys that really deserve it? And I thought this was definitely the two guys that got one were the two guys that I marked on my sheet that I said, yes, these are the guys I think that should get it.
Because De Silva, you could give one just based on, like, he has a really good record. We've seen Cervara highlights. This fight wasn't great tonight, but he still did win over a very talented guy. Come on over here.
Yeah, he's got dominant ground game, but it was weird because, like, you look like if it was like a grappling match, you're like, wow, this kid's a stud, you know? But, like, when he was in some of those things and he didn't throw punches, you're like, well, because I know he was one of the highly touted ones coming in, and it was like, okay, maybe he just had an off night, you know, but I don't know if he just threw enough. There were points where you're like, why are you not striking? Why are you not striking? I was like, maybe it's nerves, maybe it's whatever. But, yeah, so I could see where they're like, okay, we'll give him the credit that it was an off night because it was so dominant. I mean, he's a specimen. Like, the dude looks fit. He looks the part,
He'll be back.
So, yeah, he'll definitely be back. But, yeah, I think the right people got it, but who knows? But I liked the ones that we got. I was like, all right, thank goodness. You know.
Can I tell you? You know, you threw the Bofa out there. I'm not the biggest Taylor Swift fan by any stretch of the imagination, but my wife actually very much is. My wife is a hardcore Swiftie. She was she was watching
both of us are.
she was watching the YouTube stream like the moment it came out. Did you see that? Did this not make it to you that she just did a YouTube thing with her boyfriend?
I thought
or
I
they
saw
did
pictures.
A podcast. I shouldn't say it was.
Well, yeah, I saw. Oh, I just assumed it was his podcast.
It
and
is
she
his,
came on.
It is. It was his podcast. She came on it, but because she was on it. Like they live premiered it on YouTube, and there were 1.2 million people watching live.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, and it actually apparently like the stream like cut out at some point. She did like over an hour or whatever. It was heavily edited. Like,
so how was it live?
Oh, well, the live premiere after the premiere. Yeah, it was heavily edited. But my wife watched all of it. You know, she my wife is like mad Swiftie. Like she's already like.
Well, plus seeing those two. I mean, I've seen a lot of. You know, all the memes about how cute of a couple and blah, blah, blah.
I actually caught, like, the last, like, 15 minutes of it, and I was entertained by the it would have been a better – I think it's a better listen than it is a watch because it's so heavily edited. And since it's video, like, they're doing, like, jumps of frame cuts, you know what I mean? And it just annoys me a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I get it because they wanted to be tight and whatever. But anyway.
Well, that – you know, I mean – we say things all the time, you know, at times we're like, oh, we could edit that. And we're like, but on something on her level, I imagine.
She's got to make it polished and everything. So I get it. But anyway, the reason that I brought up the Taylor Swift name was not
now
just to talk about that. No, I'm not a Swiftie because you talked about the BOFA. And my wife just ordered the, so they have a new album, right? And so she just ordered the CD. And I'm like. They still like I didn't know that CDs were still being manufactured. Like to be honest, I thought everything was just digital now. But I guess she did like a vinyl record because people like collect stuff from Taylor Swift or whatever. So my wife actually I don't even know if we have she does have a CD player in her car I think, but I don't even know if we have a CD player. But she ordered the
CD.
I
wonder if your Xbox or your PlayStation.
Oh, the Xbox or PlayStation definitely can't. Yeah, which so anyway, but it got me
going.
It got me the opportunity that I have not been able to use in years on our family group chat because we have a group chat that's me, my son, and my wife. You know, we share little things or whatever, and she's like, "Oh, I just pre-ordered the CD," and I have not been able to just break out the very childish. You can pre-order the CDs, nuts. I got to break that. Yeah. So I was like, thank you, Taylor Swift, allowing me to be able to dust off the CD's nuts.
Haven't seen that one in a while.
I think my kid just said, like, wow, after something like that. And he gave me, like, the hands.
I like that. Oh, so then now I know in that chat, I'll give you the Korean rom-com that you suggested. Make sure you have to do the K-pop Demon Hunters. K-pop Demon Hunters. Can't even say it. K-pop Demon Hunters. For all you folks that want to watch an anime with your kids. That's
K-pop Demon Hunter. I still need to. I haven't given
that's
the recommendation
on Netflix,
yet.
And I looked up the rom-com I was going to look at in case you want to look at that. And it's called Tastefully Yours. It's got decent reviews. I have not watched it, so I can't give my personal take on it.
Well, it's funny because my wife and son are going to be gone tonight because they're going.
You're going to watch the Korean rom-com.
On Thursdays, they go straight from guitar practice to jiu-jitsu.
Oh, wow.
Busy. So I will have the evening to myself, so maybe I'll just pop on a little Korean rom-com.
So a food company heir running Seoul's top restaurant meets a passionate rural chef. Despite his indifference to taste, they develop feelings while operating a small eatery together in Jeonju. See?
I mean, it is right up my alley. I was a restaurant manager
know,
for a long
see?
Time.
This one
the food
to
service
you.
Game.
Yep. See?
Terrible. All right, UFC 319 is this weekend. If I'm not watching Korean rom-com, I'll be taking in some UFC 319 content.
Dual viewing.
Both on at the same time. I'm fired up about this main event. Look, I don't think this needs a big technical breakdown. I think everybody understands the angles here, right? I mean, Khamzat Chimaev is an absolute – his grappling is off the charts. His strength, his chain wrestling, his submission abilities is incredible. It's of the highest possible level.
Yep.
But we don't know how his cardio is going to hold up. Meanwhile, Trickus Duplessis, as awkward and unique as his style may be, is incredibly effective. He is also a powerhouse and brute of a man. He looks like he's exhausted all the time, but he doesn't slow down. And so I think everybody believes that Khamzat Chimaev could absolutely – I mean, at least I think both possibilities are true. I know sometimes people get so keyed in and they don't see both possibilities in a fight. But I think both possibilities in this fight are true. Khamzat Chimaev could absolutely go out there and submit him in the opening round.
Yep.
Or Dricus could absolutely survive that opening storm, take over, and either win it on the cards or get a late finish. And I'm leaning towards late finish for Dricus du Plessis simply because an exhausted Khamzat Chimaev doesn't have as much of an ability to get out of a bad situation.
Yep.
Either gets forced into a submission or what I think is a TKO. You obviously have got to make stat picks every week. Mine are just kind of, you know, me making picks and maybe sending some folks over to CloudBet and telling them what I'm making over there. But you've got to go on record every week. Which way did you lean?
After watching that open workout that we did, I was so like Khamzat, man. I was like, his grappling, the way he was just dominating. I was like, how can I not pick him?
Yep.
You know. But then as the week went on, as I saw, you know, a jacked Dricus du Plessis, you know, showing up looking good around fight week in good spirits, you know, then you just start, you know, just like you said, you started thinking about the other things. Like, I don't think, while it is possible that Khamzat could get that win in round one, I just feel like Dricus, man, I don't want to put it all on luck. He has this weird luck that just gets him through some things. If he can weather that initial storm, I do believe that he's the better guy further on as it gets. We even heard, I won't name names and say where or whatever, but we did hear about somebody that was talking about how he's seen the training, and talk about the training when Khamzat trained with Sean Strickland, you know, was able to drop Strickland early and then made it seem like, okay, you know, like, wow, okay, we know who, you know, wins that one. But as they went on further, Strickland had the better of him. After that drop, Strickland was dominating, was able to kind of work things. And Strickland's not like this. When I've seen him train in his whatever, he's very oppressive on like some of these guys, but do we see it a lot of times in the fights?
No.
We don't. You know, so I think I just wonder if maybe when we see these things from Khamzat so much in the ring, it's because people just haven't taken him to that deep water and haven't pulled him out of that area where he's able to kind of dominate that thing. And Dricus has a really good way of keeping the fight in the dictating how he wants it to go. So I'm kind of leaning on the fact, and plus, sometimes we just got to keep that champ bonus, to get that extra bonus. And I just feel like Dricus does a really good job of preparing for his opponents. And from Khamzat, after just looking at him this week, man, I think he's there and he's ready, but he has a lot of new things going on in his life, and we haven't seen him in the States for a while. I just feel like if he had been more active over here, I would give him the benefit that he's ready for this.
Right.
And I'm not saying he's not ready skill-wise. I just I think there's a lot of external factors that maybe affect his performance to this one. So I just wasn't ready to lean him. So I went DDP.
It's interesting you say that. And I'm just thinking about it now. So the countdown, you know, they showed a lot into Khamzat's life. We don't get to see a lot of Khamzat's life. And I mean, we don't know much about Chechnya and that sort of thing, right? But they showed
it. Yeah, they choose to not show a lot of things over there, yeah.
But, you know, they did kind of show, A, like his village is really small. B, like the institute that he trained at, which is a, you know, high-level Russian facility. Like it's known for its isolation, you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, those athletes get to just do focus on that that. And yeah, and then he comes to Southern California and, you know, I mean, what a setup that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, life is different.
Everybody's like, oh, he's showing up early. He's really, he was like an hour and a half late. And I'm just like, what's going on here?
I mean, it's a different life. You know, and you get the attention and fame in the United States. Yeah. Like, you're not around people. It's interesting. I mean, obviously, he is a famous guy. He's not hard to recognize. You know what I mean? He's got so people see him right away. Yep. He can't hide in, blend in area. So
it's not hard to get caught up in the whole fight week hub. Yeah. Just hubbub, and even this, and just maybe even the camp, even once he came over to the state. So I don't know. I think if we had seen him in big fights more here, I think I'd be like, oh yeah, Khamzat, knowing his skill set and knowing whatever. But yeah, I went DDP, and it could be completely wrong. But I mean, if you go the odds, Khamzat's the favorite.
I went DDP as well. You know, and if Khamzat wins the opening round, I won't be like, wow, never saw that possibility. Yeah. I obviously see that possibility. But
yeah, I
mean, DDP
a lot
well.
Of people, I think, I would just hate if people just choke it up to the fact of that, you know, that DDP's, that it has been luck. He just he has this awkward style and somehow pulls stuff. It's not that.
It's not that.
I mean, like, I think we just don't give him, I think we give him credit, obviously, but I just feel like a lot of times people just overlook how really smart and intelligent and how he's able to kind of dictate these fights, you know. And so
did you watch,
he's going to need it for this one.
Did you watch the countdown? I've shared this. If anybody listens to the other
I need to be better
and
watch those. I always say I'm going to watch
them. I usually watch them on Sunday night because once fight week starts, because they come out, I think they usually put them out like on Saturday the week before. I watch them on Sunday nights because like Sunday's kind of family day, and after we hang out with family, like I always turn that one on because – once fight week starts, like I get too wrapped
up.
There's
just so much
other stuff. There's so much other stuff. But so that's what I've started doing is making it like a Sunday night tradition before pay per view.
That's not a bad idea.
But it's funny because they show that he does car. I guess he does car racing and stuff like DDP does, like in his spare time. Like it's fun for him. So he's drives on like this little mud track or whatever. But the car that he built, like number one, he's got his name on it. But instead of DDP or Drickus Duplessis, it's Dricky Bobby. So like that, which I thought was hilarious. And
funny.
And the car number they put on there was 69. I was like, that's DDP.
Tricky Bobby.
Hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
All right, I went DDP as well. Lerone Murphy, Aaron Pico. Which way'd you go there?
I went Murphy.
Dude, see, I went Pico, and I honestly feel like Lerone Murphy's probably the smarter pick. I think I'm just homering on Pico. Like,
yeah,
I just
love Pico
so much.
I mean, like this kid. I mean, like he's good. He's a stud. I mean, I just chalked up UFC experience.
Agreed.
For Lerone, and
Lerone's been facing some studs.
Yeah, and he just seemed really, really focused on media. I'm great. That's whatever. The vibe I got from him, and just knowing that his experience, I think it's
honestly I think that's probably the smarter pick. I love Pico.
It could
man.
Go Pico's
I
way.
Absolutely love. I love Pico as a fighter. I love Pico as a person. Like just such
he's
a
dangerous man.
Polite human being and dangerous. But I honestly think as I made my pick, I kind of feel like I'm homering a little bit. Jeff Neal calls Prochus?
I went Prochus.
Yeah, I think so too. And I
like
Jeff Neal.
I feel like a lot of our staff went Jeff Neal, understandably. I mean, like his hands, he's powerful. He's amazing. But Prochus, man, I've been riding that kid's hype train for a little bit.
He's good.
You know, I mean, I think he's the real deal. I think he has future potential if he can, you know, keep the ship focused in the right area. I think he has future champ material, but who knows? Maybe he might be one of those guys that's just destined for like a top five. But I think this is going to be a good test. But yeah, if Jeff Neal gets it, man, I won't be sad.
Nah, I like
Jeff. He's a great dude.
Great story. Man. Great dude. Can near MVP?
I won MVP.
Yeah, I won MVP as well.
But man, I was torn. Jerry just weirdly out of sorts and seemed angry at media day, and I was like, what's going on in his head? I mean, granted, maybe a lot of people you know, I don't see him being one that like trolls the internet and sees people talking or whatever, and I don't think MVPs went out of his way to do any whatever, but it just kind of threw me off. I was like, something weird's going on with him or whatever.
Yeah,
and I was like, you know,
I feel like in later stage, well, I mean, kind of always, like he's been a little combative, but I feel like it's gotten more so like later. Like he's just kind of like annoyed to have to even come in and talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was funny, like the whole reindeer games thing. And by the way, I did watch all the media day while I was working yesterday. I had the stream on in the background. It was the MMA fighting stream, but still I watched it nonetheless. didn't want to give Junkie those views. But, you know, again, you told that, like, there was one point where he said, like, and I did thought this was, like, telling and, you know, honest, but he was, like, he said something to the effect of, like, I would have to, like, put myself in a different mindset to see the way that you see things. Like, they were asking about questions. You know, he's, like, I don't even see myself as the possibility of losing or the possibility that this is difficult. You know what I mean? It's just, like, but you know, he has that insane self-confidence and then the beliefs of the crystals and all that other stuff or whatever. But I did pick up on that. I think he's always a little at edge. Like he's always...
Yeah, I see more edge.
He's always a little bit of edge if you ask certain things. But this just seemed like he was just the whole time he was just at edge. So anyway, I went MVP too. I think the speed and stuff's a little difficult.
But man, Jared is Jared. I mean, like if there's a guy out there that can, you know, definitely put some power on MVP's face and steal the fight away. Jared's definitely capable, but
he could do it, man.
I mean, MVP, man. Guys, he's fun. And he's just fun. Like, he's just fun to listen to.
He really is,
man. He's just entertaining. Even just the one little line when somebody said Joe Rogan was praising about something, and he was
smart
just like,
man.
I think he's a smart man.
Smart man.
Pause for it. I was like, wow, done.
He's great, man.
Yeah,
he's fun to listen
to.
He's
really good on the mic.
Add in the English accent on top of it, you know what I mean?
He's got all, and fuck yeah, man. He's got too many things in his favor.
Got everything over there.
he's a stud, man. But that's going to be that'll be a fun one. I hope that's a fun fight.
I want to see
them just throwing down and seeing some fun stuff. But what's fun about him is once he starts feeling himself and he's starting to, you know, hurt his opponent, He starts to bring out the little shoulder swing.
So good.
He starts to just make it entertaining. You know, like the stuff that he used to do back in Bellator and the other one, he'd do the Pokemon roll, all
the
other shit.
And
you're just like,
the best.
Because he delivered. It wasn't like he was just putting on these little gimmicks and then putting on like boring ass fights.
No, he's putting on highlight
reels.
Puts
on fun fights.
And you know, you talk about like the media day, just how honest he is, right? Where they're like, somebody's like, well, how does the power translate up to middleweight? And he was like, it doesn't. He's like, at welterweight, he laid it out there. This is great. He's like, at welterweight, you know, I'm trying to pick that one perfect, accurate shot because I know. He's like, at middleweight, these dudes are tanks. Like, I can't. Like, I got to do combinations. I can't, like, sit back and try to snipe one. He's like, no, I got to fight. And I was like, that's honest assessment, you know what I mean? Like, not to be like, oh, because a lot of people just be like, oh, bro, with my type of accuracy and power, like, it translates no matter what.
Yeah,
because
a lot of
times,
because sometimes we ask that almost like, just give me that quote. Give me a quote that's just gonna be like, I'm bigger, I'm stronger. Yeah, I'm gonna knock out this guy, you know, or something. But yeah, I mean, it's refreshing to hear an honest assessment, and it's from and when he just describes his shit. I mean, you could tell he's very, very intelligent when he thinks about his fight game and how he breaks it down. But yeah, and maybe it just seemed more refreshing because it was like, man, why is Jared so mad at us today? I was like, I was glad I wasn't in the room. I was like, I don't want him mad at me for no reason.
100%.
And then hear MVP coming in there and just like winning him over and stuff.
The best. Yeah. Elliot Asakura.
I went Asakura.
Yeah, I think you have to. Yeah, I mean, I like Tim Miller a lot.
Oh, bro. He looked like he just got done running with, like, Forrest Gump, you know? Like, he
amazing.
Just ran across, like, the world.
I
was like, bro, that beard is fierce.
I know. I actually wonder if the commission or Asakura will make him shave. Or if the commission will make him, or if Asakura can't make him, obviously, but Asakura can request. Because that used to be a discussion. Remember, like, Roy Nelson back in the day, there used to be some discussion of, like, well, but if I can't see your chin because you – and it's not so much of, like – there's so much hair in the beard that it's going to pad it so that my blows won't land.
Yeah.
It's just like, I can't even see the target I need to be throwing at. You know what I mean? So there are a lot of commissions do have rules. Like you have to be, you know, can only be a certain length or whatever. I don't know if Illinois is going to be that strict about it. So it will be interesting to see if he's allowed to wear that beard on fight night or not. And then, of course, there's the argument of like
rear
naked
choke. Like,
it can get in there as well. It can cause a problem. So. Interesting. All right, well, listen, UFC 319, it is going to be an incredible card. I'm excited about it. One of the biggest fights of the calendar year in this main event, no question. So,
it's like a good card.
I'm looking for – oh, yeah, dude, I mean, you go the rest of it. You know, Mearshart and Oleg Sejchuk should be a fun fight. Jessica Andrade and Lupe Godinez, Hooper and Hernandez, Barbosa and Close, Battle and Ruzibov, all the way down to the early prelims. I mean, they stack these pay-per-views now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, Dana said the
Hopefully
other day –
Hopefully they'll stay that way.
I was going to say, Dana said the other day – I still want, and I do agree with him when he said, you know that I'm not like that. Like, I agree, they're still going to want their numbered events to stand out. But this is that's kind of what I meant is, and again, a press conference situation, and you don't want to hijack all the time. But if it was like a private conversation or maybe a one-on-one interview, I would be like, I don't mean necessarily the main card, you know what I mean? But I don't mean the main card, but what I'm talking about, like you said, like, you know, if they said to you right now, hey man, did you hear what they're headlining with at the Apex on November 1st? Is Brian Battle versus Nursultan Ruzibov on November 1st. Oh, and then that next week, the November 8th, that's actually Edson Barbosa and Jarkar Close in the main event over there at the Apex. You'd be like, okay, like those are the early prelims. You know what I mean? So like, do they stack that? Now you still got the thought of, you still got to sell out the arena. You know what I mean? So if you're traveling on the road, you want to stack that lineup because you still got to sell the place out. And I have seen a lot of people, and I guess this is kind of just a real quick tagline on the TV deal as well. I've seen a lot of people that their argument is, well, again, with pay-per-views gone, there's no incentive to stack these cards or develop superstars whatsoever. Like, I would caution people that say that to think that they clearly don't run a business, because this 7-year deal is not the end of the company.
Yeah.
So if you mail it in for 7 years and you're like, ha ha ha, Scrooge McDuck and your $7.7 billion. Well, then when it comes time to renew that contract, who do you go talk to?
Yeah.
They're going to show, everybody's going to say, so this idea that, oh, there's no incentive whatsoever now, they're just going to mail it in, they're not even going to care. Bro, they're not trying to just do this 7-year contract and be done. There's going to be another one after that. So they absolutely have incentive to keep delivering, because guess what? When the next deal comes up, they don't want $7.7 billion.
Yeah.
They want $12
billion. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
and some of these big fights, I think, that are going to be on, especially like CBS and other stuff. I mean, we've always heard Dana tout like the pay-per-view numbers. You know, they're always trying to increase those numbers. Now we're going to start seeing numbers in the millions.
Actual ratings.
In actual ratings. You know, so when they're going to get percentage shares, and now you're going to be hearing Dana say, well, you know, we ran opposite of so-and-so, and we had a 10% share or whatever. Like, that's huge, yep. Like some of these things. So I think there'll be new metrics that they base themselves upon. And to do that, they need to have good fights. They need to have good events.
100%. Oh, and, and let me just say lastly.
They're not going to watch it by default, just like, oh, well, UFC's on tonight. You know, it's turning on CBS.
There's other stuff to watch. And I tell you what, and it's a minor detail, and it probably makes me sound old as fuck. But I know they haven't figured it all out yet. If they decide they no longer need these fights to be at 10 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. If they're like, you know, actually, at Paramount, we found that...
we like morning fights.
Saturday morning fights. I would love... No, dude, I'm telling you, if they're like, you know, actually what works best for us is kind of that prime time Eastern. So like 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern for your main card. Now, granted, we're out here on the West Coast. So look, when I lived in...
That would be morning fights when it starts.
Because I live... So I grew up in Texas, obviously, when I was still in the restaurant business, moved from Texas to Oklahoma to Kentucky to Ohio before I moved out here. When I was in Kentucky and Ohio, like, and I was only there for 2 years. But honestly, in those 2 years, I got to the point where I would just DVR the UFC and watch it the next morning, staying away from my phone because
imagine that. Now, that just shows you how old you're at. People can't stay away
Can't stay
phones.
Away from your phone now. This was bad. Yeah, I think back then I had just had like the Samsung T209 or whatever. That's how long ago it was. You're talking like 2006, you know, something like that. So, because it's so late on the East Coast. Yeah. Like, bro, I was like, you know, again, I just finished working.
Like, and walk
I just finished working
whatever.
Like a 12-hour day. And I had Sundays. I always had Sundays off because I was like a general manager. So I always had the Sundays off. Like, but I had to work all day Saturday. So I'd work like 12-hour days. And at that point, like, I'm too tired or whatever. So I am saying if they turn this thing into earlier, so I will not be complaining, man.
Yeah.
I love early, like, dude, like, started off like college football, bro. You know what I mean? Like 10 a.m. on the Pacific, you know, 1 a.m. Yeah, like, oh, dude.
Then you can have the nights for what they're supposed to be, which is Korean rom-coms and other.
100%. Like, get this sports out. I need my time to reflect on my Korean rom-com. All right. Everybody enjoy UFC 319. For everybody, sports over at patreon.com/MMA Roadshow. We'll be there for the and a half on Monday afternoon. In the meantime, just enjoy your weekend, and thanks for listening.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.